Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association, coming to you today from Sao Paulo, Brazil, and the SCCE Regional Compliance and Ethics Conference. Joining me today is Pedro Ruske Freitas. Pedro is the Director of Integrity for the CGU, which is the Comptroller General's Office in Brazil. He just finished giving a presentation here. Pedro, thanks for speaking with us today and speaking to the whole group just a few minutes ago.
Adam, thank you for having me here. Thank you for inviting me to the conference and also for this interview.
So we really appreciate your taking this time. So first, I think it would be good, since this is a global podcast, if you could give a little bit of history of the CGU for people who are less familiar with it.
Okay, no problem. CGU is the Office of the Comptroller General. It's an institution, an entity of the federal executive branch in Brazil. And among other things, we are responsible for audit of the executive federal branch, ombudsman service as well, for all the transparency policies of the government, and also for corruption prevention. Within the corruption prevention department, we work on the promotion or the fostering of the adoption of compliance programs by private companies, by state-owned enterprises, and now by public entities as well. In Brazil, as of the end of last year, the federal executive branch, all the entities and agencies and ministries need to have a compliance program in place.
And I think it's notable, and we should talk about this, is that as part of Operation Lava Jato and all that came out for it, you've been overseeing the creation of regulations for compliance and ethics programs, and notably, a lot of the people from the CGU, including yourself, attended the SCCE Academy understand compliance programs. And it seems as if the CGU has really tried to engage throughout its history with the business community to understand what will work or not.
That's true. Actually, one of my first formal trainings on compliance was at a SEC Academy here in Brazil. So we do try, before issuing all the regulations and guidelines regarding compliance, we did study, we did talk to companies, we did talk to entities that work on the field, for instance, SEC. We had to do that because we didn't want to be unreasonable on the regulations on the matter. So we did that before, we are doing it now, we always try to keep up with the market itself. I mean, the private sector has its own speed, and we really need to always take a look at what you are doing. I mean, companies and entities like SEC.
So now you mentioned the private sector changes, it evolves at its own speed. Have you seen compliance programs in Brazil evolve over the last few years?
Okay, it's a good question. We see a huge difference when we compare the period right prior the enactment of our anti-corruption law compared to the period right after. So prior to that, compliance wasn't really a topic in Brazil. Companies didn't really understand what compliance was for or what kind of benefits they would get by adopting a compliance program. After the our anti-corruption law and with Lava Jato, we see this rise of interest on compliance. So we see companies wanting to talk to CGU. We see requests for partnerships. We see invitations to attend events and give lectures. So there is this huge increase on interest. That's for one. The thing is, and then we see that when we evaluate compliance programs. So even though the topic's way more popular than it was five years ago, we do see lots of challenges. And the first one would be the lack of application of a compliance program. So companies do adopt a compliance program. They want to somehow gain, I would say, there's a corporate image so that are attached to the compliance in Brazil, but they do present lots of flaws when applying that program in the day-to-day basis. So we usually do not receive that many evidence of application in terms of reports, minutes of partners' resolution, minutes of ethical committee forms. This is for now, it's the biggest challenge that we have. Okay, it doesn't really matter if the company adopts a compliance program and it doesn't apply to the day-to-day business. So that's be the main challenge in Brazil now.
And then in your talk, I think you mentioned today that you're working to try and help small and medium-sized businesses too.
Well, I mean, small and medium-sized business in the subject of compliance, there are still a challenge because of the structure of small business in Brazil. Most of them lack formal documents, and when we need to evaluate the compliance program, we need to see the documents, we need to see the evidence. There are some exceptions for a compliance program for small and medium-sized companies. When a company wants this program to be evaluated, for instance, it doesn't need to provide evidence of a hotline or for a third-party due diligence. That does not mean that they shouldn't do that. They just do not need to provide evidence. So it is still a challenge. And the strategy that we developed, CGU developed, was to work with Sebrae. Sebrae is an entity of NGO, I could say, that deals with small and medium-sized companies. So provides services regarding participating in public biddings or structuring, formalizing the company itself. So we started a partnership with them for us to understand how to speak the language of small and medium-sized small companies. We are still working with them. There are still many challenges, but one breakthrough that we have this guideline, which was very well drafted specifically for that kind of public. And we understand that for now this helps. This is not enough, but we are still trying to face all the issues regarding small and medium-sized companies.
Yeah, it's an ongoing challenge because they don't have the resources or the history. And yet, for those businesses wanting to be parts of global supply chains, you know, more and more their partners are looking for them to have compliance programs as well. So speaking of global supply chains and global nature of business, you know, you're dealing not just with Brazilian companies, but there's a lot of global businesses with enormous presence in Brazil. What should non-Brazilian companies know when they come to Brazil, and what should they be thinking about that maybe you're seeing that they're not fully addressing when they come here?
Well, foreign companies operating in Brazil within the context of an economic group, so shall we say that they have a global compliance program that is adapted to FCPA or UK Bribery Act. When they come to Brazil and they state that they have the best program there is, we still want to see that program somehow adapted to the Brazilian situation. So for instance, we want to see the tone at the top also of the Brazilian company, not only of the foreign company. We want to see at least the main documents of the compliance program translated into Portuguese. We understand that almost all of the employees speak English, but when we consider clients of the company in Brazil, the public administration that needs to deal with that company, some documents need to be in Portuguese. That also applies to the hotline. I mean, there has to be a way of blowing the whistle in Portuguese, so all the procedural has to be also written in Portuguese. We also want to see someone in Brazil responsible for matters related to compliance, at least to a local extent. We need to see risks specific to the Brazilian anti-corruption law being addressed in the compliance program. So this adaptation is necessary. Because even though the topic is way more popular now, it is still, compared to other countries, it is still in infancy. So we need the help of multinational big companies to divulge and in a way to export the compliance in Brazil as well, clients, third parties, customers, public administration. So adaptation is required, yes.
Well, and I think that's good advice, not only for doing business in Brazil, but anywhere that you operate, so that people can understand what it is they're expected to comply with. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us here on this podcast. Thank you for the presentation today.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you. And I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA saying, I hope we were able to expand your compliance perspective.